Hey everyone, welcome to episode 62 of Siths and Giggles. I am your host Casey, and I am joined by Krista. How you doing, Krista?
Not too bad, Casey. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's always good when we get to talk Star Wars together, so we got a fun one today because we're talking about Star Wars Rebels, which...
What? I'm sorry. My computer is having so many issues right now.
No, it's okay. So today we are talking about Star Wars Rebels, which you just finished watching for the first time.
I did.
It was so exciting for me that you started that. And like in addition to that, you read the Kanan comic and like you really got into Star Wars Rebels.
I did, honestly. I was surprised that I did. Yeah, no, I fell for that hook, line, and sinker real quick.
And then I got to watch some of my favorite episodes with you. I watched the season.
Yes.
I watched the season 2 finale where Maul came back.
Yes.
Watched the World Between Worlds episodes. And then yes. Watched the series finale, which always makes me cry.
Yes. That series just made me have a lot of emotions, and I also found myself like really like my favorite characters were non-force users, which is rare, because right. If given the option, my favorite character almost always is going to be the force user. But like I like the character of Hera is honestly probably top 10 favorite character of all time.
Right.
And part of me wants to say top 5, but right now I can't get the order in my head of how it would go. So I'm just going to say top 10.
To be fair to you, there's a lot of characters.
Yes. There is. But I also, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because, I'll do a thing where I'll be like, oh, yeah, this character's a top 5 character for me. And then, I'll immediately think of 5 characters that I like.
Yeah, I don't know if you could see it, but, if anybody looked at me, they would have been clearly shown, the wheels turning in my head. But, no, but this character and this character and this character and this character. It was like a roto dial. Just... but she would definitely be top 10. And then Sabine's character as well. I was kind of shocked by how much I ended up liking her character, because in the beginning, I'm not gonna lie, the first part of season 1, I really didn't care for her. It wasn't that I disliked her, it was I was indifferent to her. She was just there.
Right.
But her character ended up being incredible. I think, her arc where she goes from, the whole Mandalore arc with her learning how to use the Darkblade, I really enjoyed for her. And it was neat because it forced her to think about herself differently and to, actually face her demons. The demons that we all can see throughout the show, the problems that, she has and everything, and it enforces her to self-reflect and figure out how to, overcome them and to, be better afterwards. I really liked that. I would like to just go on record that Zeb is gay. He and Agent Kallus are a fantastic couple, though. Absolutely adorable.
They moved in together at the end.
He took them home.
To meet the parents.
To literally meet the family at their secret planet. Come on. Not to mention that Agent Kallus, no inkling whatsoever that he was going to, defect from the Empire at all till he gets crash landed with Zeb. Then willingly lets Zeb leave. Waits until he can get picked up, and the next thing you know, is cashing in a sparing him at different instances, And then he just, you know, goes and plays both sides as a double agent. He becomes Fulcrum after Ahsoka is no more. And then when he gets caught, he literally just moves in, basically, with the fucking ghost crew until they find a base. And then when it's all said and done, when you jump 3 years, what was this? Was that the time gap?
I think so. We'll go with that.
Jump 3 years. What did they do their 3 years? They started it off by going to a secret planet that nobody knows about. That is a 100%, you know, that is a strong gay couple right there.
Exactly.
And I'm all for it. It's fantastic. Chopper. Chopper is one of my favorite droids. He pushes the other astromech out of the ship when they offer him a chance to join the crew.
That is one of my favorite Chopper moments right there.
Yes. And then his relationship with AP5. I enjoy that it was similar to R2 and 3PO's, but it was also different. Because AP5 was just a sassy back. Like, in a different way than R2. I mean, than 3PO is. 3PO is, like, always offended. And he acts like he's all hoity-toity. And all about manners and etiquette. Whereas AP5 does not. AP5 is like, I am smart, and I am smarter than you. So I enjoyed it.
So, okay, so you watched it. No, wait, you didn't mention anything about Kanan or Ezra.
So, Ezra, I think my exact words to you was Star Wars really nails it with the whiny male protagonists. Like, they knock it out of the park every single time. And that is how I felt about Kanan. I mean, not Kanan. Ezra, all the way up until season 4, maybe a couple episodes into season 4.
So basically, yeah, he follows Luke's arc where he's like whiny boy, whiny boy, whiny boy, whiny boy Jedi. And
that's a great, because I really dislike Luke all the way up until like Return of the Jedi. Like, that's the only movie that I actually like Luke in. I know this is shocking news. I wish everybody could see Casey's jaw just dropped.
It's cool.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
He's not my favorite character. I don't dislike him, but like...
Okay, I think this is like our second disagreement in our whole friendship. So like, I think I can live with it.
He's just, yeah, I don't know. He's not my cup of tea.
I think that, and, like, growing up as a little whiny, blonde-haired boy, I related to Luke very much.
Incredible. No, I distinctly remember being little and, like, arguing that that Leia would be better because she isn't whiny. Like, I distinctly remember having that argument with my brother-in-law when I was a kid that Leia would have been a better Jedi because she actually has control of her emotions.
And you know what? I mean, like...
It's not wrong.
At least one Star Wars creator agrees with you. Because in Yoda's A Certain Point of View story, he insists on training Leia. He does not want to train Luke at all. Wants nothing to do with Luke. And he wants to train Leia for the reasons that you just mentioned. So, well, at least one creator agrees with kid.
in season 4, especially in, like, you know, the latter half of season 4, really from Kanan's death, which I know we have to have a full-blown discussion of, but before we get to that, while I'm just touching on the characters, really up until about, yeah, Kanan's death, I didn't really care for Ezra. Like, I didn't dislike him because as a whole, I loved all of the characters. I loved the whole family dynamic, everything about it. But, you know, Ezra was just one of those characters to me that was just in the show. I wasn't invested in him until Kanan's death. And then I was absolutely, I really, really liked how, you know, his arc played out, his role, you know, in saving Lothal. And ultimately, like, just the growth that you see his character make. Like, he goes through all of this shit. But it's, you know, the death of his master, someone who, I guess you could say, had a contentious relationship with. They butted heads a lot. You know, he threatened to leave multiple times. Like, Kanan, you know, questioned teaching him and all that kind of stuff. And this, you know, Ezra readily sought out Darth Maul, like, several times. And, like, was well aware that Darth Maul considered him, like, you know, his apprentice and stuff like that.
It was very but much... But I think ultimately... You can really make a comparison between Kanan and Ezra and, like, Obi-Wan and Luke, I think.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of... Kanan has a lot of the same doubts that Obi-Wan has about training Anakin. And Anakin also runs to the dark side, but Ezra did not fail where Anakin did.
Yeah, that's actually a really good, like, way to look at it. And then with Kanan's character, for... I wouldn't say that I, you know, I wasn't invested in Kanan's character, because I was, but I want to say that was only because I had read the comics, and I was reading the comics while I was concurrently watching the show. So, like, I think knowing the background information that I knew about Kanan, you know, helped me actually care about his character a little bit more. Otherwise, it probably would have been the same route as Ezra, because he was just kind of bland in there. But really, since, you know, he was blind, like, when he was blinded and then on, he became one of, you know, like, one of my favorite characters. I really liked his arc. I thought it was awesome. I'm sad that we got less of him and Hera actually on screen. We'll specify it that way. Because it was happening throughout the entire show, clearly. But, yeah, I really liked his arc, and I thought it was cool how, you know, in the end, everything for him, he found peace when he accepted who he was, like, and accepted his past, like, that he was a Jedi and, like, fully embraced it again. And, you know, remembered that he was Caleb Doom, not Kanan Jarrus. I thought that was a really cool moment as well.
His ending is one of the most gut-wrenching endings in all of Star Wars.
And I'm still mad at you for it.
I mean, okay, so, like, wait until you rewatch that episode one day, and then you watch Hera again saying, "I never got to tell him," and you know what she means this time.
Yeah, like, even just, like, going back and thinking that is, like, ugh. I just remember I was enjoying the shit out of that beginning of that episode.
Okay, can I set the scene here?
By all means.
Okay, so, like, you know, you texted me at the beginning of the episode, because you text me when you start, like, any block of episodes. So you text me and you tell me you're on episode 10.
Well, hold up. This was episode 10. You had been telling me to let you know when I was watching.
Okay.
So, like, I knew it was going to be a big episode, but I had no idea what.
Right. Because I tell you to text me during fun episodes, too, not just, like, the heartbreaking ones.
Yes, yes.
So you text me, and you say that you've started episode 10, and then, like, you're texting me about all the fun you're having with this episode. And I'm feeling so bad because you're loving every minute of it. And then, like, 18 minutes into the episode, you text me and you're like, what the fuck, Filoni?
Yes.
It was...
I forgot that I texted you, what the fuck, Filoni?
Oh, and before you started the episode, as soon as you said I'm starting episode 10, my response was, I'm here to talk when the episode's done.
I completely, like, disregarded that. I didn't, like, it didn't even dawn on me that it was, like, someone, like, you're gonna be in an emotional wreck. No, I took it as, like, I'm gonna be, like, confused about something. So, it's like, okay, whatever. And then just, I was like, I mean, we talk about it after almost every episode I watch. So, like, okay. Yeah, didn't dawn on me.
And then, did you notice at the end of the season finale, well, not the very end, but, like, when Ezra was, like, holding off Thrawn and he was holding off the stormtroopers, that he's standing in the exact same pose,
yes,
that Kanan was standing in?
Yeah, I loved that. I really liked that.
That's, I didn't make that connection at first, but I started following an Instagram account that it's called Star Wars Parallels.
Ooh, I need to find that.
And it's, yeah, it's like little stuff like that.
Star Wars Parallels, followed by Darth. Yep, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, it's a fun account to follow.
Hey, like Ahsoka and Ezra walking away from their Jedi temples. Like, that's one I did not even think about.
There's another good one where it's Revenge of the Sith Obi-Wan dropping Luke off at the Lars homestead and riding away. And then, like, next to it is him, like, riding back to the homestead at the end of his Rebels episode.
Okay. I am not sure. I don't think I've seen that one. I do like the one that you had previously sent me of Kanan, you know, sacrificing himself to save the team. And the one of Master Depa Bilabau.
Bilabla.
I don't know how to say that. In my speech impediment doesn't like it. But his master and him as a Padawan, like, you know, how the sacrifice. I remember you sending me that one after I watched that episode. I think my favorite thing, scene, I guess, sequence, whatever you want to call it, honestly, out of the whole show is probably, you know, that whole, from the moment Vader appears in the season 2 finale, like, everything with him and Ahsoka is my favorite, probably, like, I don't know, 10-minute chunk of time. If pulling the stuff from the season 4 episode 2 of their fight as well.
Yeah. That's one, I usually cry during that too, but you were so pumped up about it that, like, I couldn't.
I negated that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, it's funny because, like, it is really emotional, but I guess, like, I just get amped up because I'm just like, you know, that's got this, like, has, like, as much as, like, it sucked, you know, Ahsoka's probably at the same time, like, pumped the fuck up.
Yeah. There's, like, two parts in particular that get me. When Vader says, Anakin Skywalker was weak, I destroyed him. And Ahsoka says yep. that I will avenge his death. And Vader says revenge is not the Jedi way. And Anakin or Ahsoka says I am no Jedi.
I am no Jedi.
And then of course the part where she breaks his mask, and then you get Anakin.
His voice.
Yeah, and it's Matt Lanter's voice, and it's just oh man. So well done.
No, I agree with both. Like both of those instances, like I think when she said like I am no Jedi, like that fired me up. But when she breaks the mask, when he speaks like her name, like that made me choke up.
I mean, it was perfect. It was a perfect culmination to their relationship in the Clone Wars.
Yes.
Gibbs, knock it off. Speaking of the Clone Wars, so you watched these two series back to back.
I did.
Have you decided which one you like more? Do you like either one more than the other? You don't have to choose.
I don't think I like either one more than the other. they're both good. I will say, and I think I might have mentioned this to you before, that with the Clone Wars, there's a lot of quality episodes and a lot of quality arcs, but at the same time, there are some episodes, you know, that like if I go back and rewatch that I most 100% will probably skip. Mm-hmm. With Rebels, I don't think there's a single episode that I would skip.
No, there is.
It just over, like, it overall was quality. Well, Clone Wars had a lot of quality episodes in it, I guess is a good way to put it.
Right.
But I don't like one more than the other.
You didn't have to. You were in Rebels from the beginning, right? Like, because I know that, like you said, for the Clone Wars, you had to get through season one.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. Clone Wars season one, I really struggled with Rebels. It was less of a struggle, largely because, like, I just, you know, right off the bat, I was intrigued by, like, you know, the characters of Hera and Zeb and, like, Chopper and Kanan, like, that kind of stuff. Like, they did a good job of making me interested from the start, where with some of the episodes in the beginning, like, for the entire first season of Clone Wars 1, it was like, none of this matters. Like, where you go, it didn't feel like it had a direction.
Right. I think the thing I like most about Rebels is I think Star Wars is at its best when it's leaning into the whole like family dynamic. And
yeah.
the Ghost crew really was a family.
I think I told you that. I was like, it's any stereotypical sitcom, like comedy sitcom that you would have where you've like the mom, dad, the two kids, the weird uncle, and then like the other, be it a talking dog like in Family Guy or an American Dad when you have
the goldfish,
the alien or the goldfish. Oh, yeah. Rick and Morty, like
Zeb's the crazy uncle, right?
Yes, Zeb is the crazy uncle. Okay. Largely because he's like an adult. You can't classify him as a kid.
I think I may have told you this already, but did you know he was based off of Ralph McQuarrie's original concept art for Chewie? Like that's almost what Chewie looked like.
You did mention that, and I'm happy that's not what Chewie looks like. And I know that's probably, you know, our inherent bias as Chewbacca's incredible. But at the same time, like, I really, really like Zeb's character. He was fun.
He was fun. I really liked him. He's...
Oh, and Agent Callus is one of the only few people that could stand the smell of a Lasat. They gay.
I think Zeb might be my favorite side character in all of Star Wars. There's so many incredible things about him.
He's great. He really is.
And I like Agent Callis. I had to hide that from you until he turned. I didn't want to give that away, because me liking an Imperial would be like a dead giveaway for you.
Yeah, which I think I even told you, like, I'm really glad you didn't give anything away about that, because I was shocked when he was revealed to be Fulcrum. I was very surprised.
I want to go back to Ezra for a second, because I loved his ending. I told you this the other night. I love that he finds a non-violent solution to dealing with Thrawn.
Yep.
So I consider him like, I think he turned into like the perfect Jedi.
Yeah. I would kind of agree with that, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. And what did you think of Thrawn?
He was a pretentious prick.
There's no denying that. Okay, neither one of us.
This was, I will say, to start off, this was my first exposure ever to Thrawn.
Prior to Rebels, my only exposure to Thrawn was like 3 chapters of the Heir to the Empire book. I couldn't get into it. Hate me for that if you want. Call me a fake Star Wars fan if you want. But like, I could not get into the Thrawn trilogy at all. So for both of us, this was pretty much like our first exposure to the Thrawn. And
I guess I was.
No, and I was going to say, and I ended up, I love the new Thrawn, like the new Thrawn books. They're really good.
You've said that, yes. Yeah,
so like I got into the character this time. But you're right, he's a huge pretentious prick.
Oh, that was a terrible time, yawn. Jesus. Yeah, he started off just kind of as a pretentious prick, and I really didn't care. But as the show went on, I was kind of intrigued by him. So, like, at some point in time, I definitely want to read, you know, the new Thrawn trilogy.
There's a character in the first book, and he's in the third book. His name is Eli Vanto. He's like total space hillbilly.
Oh, and God.
Like, if you listen to the audiobook, like, he has a hillbilly accent. Like, I absolutely love him.
That's incredible.
And he's just like, he's one of those characters that, like, even though he's an Imperial, you can't help but like him, because he's not like evil Imperial. He's one of the people who is like, he's a victim of the propaganda.
You know? Yeah.
So like, but he's a fun character.
One of my favorite, I guess, Easter eggs, if you want to call it that, of Rebels was when they get to the weapon that Sabine created, and she's with Bo-Katan, and there, you know, she hears Bo-Katan hears the Imperials like refer to it as the Duchess, and she looks at Sabine and she's like, "You named your weapon after my sister?" And she's like, "It was a series of bad decision after bad decision." I don't know why, but that was just one of my favorite, like, little moments, little exchanges, if you would, in the whole of Star Wars. Like, that was fantastic.
What episodes stand out to you for the 4 seasons?
Let me take a quick look at them.
Okay, while you're looking, I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
All of the episodes where they go to, like, the Jedi Temple, I love.
Yeah, those are good ones.
The one, I think it was season 3, where they're smuggling Mon Mothma away from Coruscant to the to like the Rebel Alliance. That was a really good episode. The Obi-Wan episode, all the finales.
Oh, I feel like we have to talk about the Obi-Wan episode.
Okay.
But continue.
So, okay, we can't talk about the Obi-Wan episode without talking about Sam Witwer as Maul. Everything,
yes, that's true.
Everything he puts into that character is incredible. And like, I don't know if you've ever seen video of him recording his dialogue.
I have not.
He really gets into it. And like, if Maul sounds like his voice is like in pain and it sounds like he's suffering, like Sam Witwer is in the recording studio, like contorting his body, like as like he emotes Maul's words from his mouth. Like he gets into it so much and he puts like every ounce of like his heart and soul into the character. And it comes across.
Yeah, that's one thing I will say. Sam Witwer, again, speech impediment does not like his last name.
We have, I think we have the same speech impediment, so I totally get that.
He's such a good actor. Like, he is phenomenal at, you know, emoting and expressing himself, be it both visually or just, you know, via audio with animated stuff. You know, you saw it, and I feel like you said, with Maul's a great example of it. In the Force Unleashed games, he was great in those. And like, that was early video games, so like graphics weren't great. So like, you know, dialogue really, really sold that story for me. I can't remember. Was he in the Clone Wars?
He was Maul in the Clone Wars, yeah.
Yeah, so like, again, and when he played a villain on the CW's Supergirl?
He was the highlight of that season.
He was the highlight of a very horrible season otherwise.
He ended up being a villain in, I can't remember what season it was, of Smallville. He ended up being like, okay, who's like the really big bad guy in like the DC universe? Who's like the Thanos of like the DC universe?
I don't remember.
Okay, so anyway, like
Doctor Doom?
No. Darkseid.
Darkseid, yes.
So he played like, I can't remember what his character's connection to Darkseid was. He was either like the son of Darkseid, or he was like, his body was like a capsule for Darkseid. I can't remember what it was, but like, he was incredible in that season. Everything Sam Witwer does, he's such an underrated actor.
He is. I feel like he should get bigger roles.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm okay with it not happening if that means we can get him in more Star Wars stuff.
Yes.
So.
But so, like, his short scene with Obi-Wan was so memorable.
Oh, it really was. I went back and watched that, like, their scene probably a grand total of, like, 8 to 10 times that night. Like, I just would watch it rewind.
It's so short. Like, that's the nice, yeah, convenient thing about it.
Seeing Obi-Wan was awesome.
Yeah. And there's so much to unpack about Obi-Wan's character in that episode.
Yes. Like, and he was barely in it.
He's barely in it, but like,
there's so much to unpack with him.
I got the sense that like Obi-Wan has found a piece that he hasn't had since the Clone Wars. And
probably since before the Clone Wars.
Since before the Clone Wars, yeah. And he doesn't he doesn't want to fight Maul. He certainly doesn't want to kill Maul. He mm-hmm. wants to de-escalate. You know, he wants to find a non-violent solution to this until Maul figures out that he's there protecting Luke.
Yep, the moment.
Yeah, and then like it, you can see it. It turns in Obi-Wan right there, and he's like, "I have to kill this guy now." And like how he starts off, like, you know, like they get into their fighting stances, and like he starts off with like his old Clone Wars stance with like the saber up by his head and the two fingers, and then he's like, "That's not me anymore." And then he switches to like the fighting stance that we see in A New Hope. And yep. he's like, and then he switches to Qui-Gon. And like the way, and it's like, it's such a great lightsaber fight, even though it's like 2 seconds long. And just like the way Maul
goes with the same move.
Yeah, he tries to kill him with the same move that he used to kill Qui-Gon, but like Obi-Wan's ready for it. Just, oh my God.
It like, and it's just, it's so quick that honestly, like the first time I watched it, I didn't even notice it. Like it happened so quick. I'm like, wait, where did it hit him? Like that just wasn't clear at first. Like I had to watch it
a few times
to like actually pinpoint, you know, like how he died.
Yeah, because I didn't pick up until the second time I watched it that like his lightsaber's split in half.
Like, that's all I picked up. I was like, but I didn't get, I'm like, okay, so he cut his lightsaber in half. How did he die?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see, like, that it's still sliced through his chest.
And I like, I loved the realization on Maul's face at that moment. Because, like, he calls him, before the fight, I think, did he call him a rat in the desert? Is that the words he used?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, he calls him a rat in the desert. And, like, as soon as Obi-Wan, like, slices through him, like, you see that realization on his face that, like, no, this is not a desert rat. This is still a very powerful Jedi Master. And he's, like, Tatooine must be the most important place in the galaxy right now because he's here instead of fighting the Empire.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think Maul's realization when he realizes, like, the weapon, the thing to destroy the Empire is there, and that's why Obi-Wan's there. And like you said, once Obi-Wan realizes it and realizes, like, I have to kill him now, I have no choice, like, the facial expression and the animation that they did for that was awesome, but at the same time as, like, you can see Maul, the wheels spinning in his head as he's, like, starting to piece the fragments together. Like, no, he doesn't, you know, fully understand what's happening or what Obi-Wan is there protecting, but he knows, like, he's there protecting something super important and valuable that can end all of this. Because ultimately, that's what Ezra was looking for, and in a way, it's kind of what Maul was looking for, too.
And yeah, and Obi-Wan, he doesn't want Ezra there anymore.
Yeah.
He wants Maul there. Only difference is he didn't have to fight Ezra to get him away from there. But, like, he knows, like, he does, the last thing Obi wants in the world is to bring the Empire
to Tatooine.
Yeah, he's like, you guys get the fuck out of here. You go back to your
family. My shitty
you
planet.
Go back to your family. You leave. Like, yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that was such a great moment in Star Wars was, I think, that fight. And like, I knew going into this, like in Rebels, Obi-Wan faces Darth Maul and kills him. I knew that. I knew nothing other than that though. So like, I was full on expecting them to have an actual like battle. I wasn't expecting to Obi-Wan to like one shot him on the opening move.
Any other episodes you want to talk about?
I'm gonna take a quick look here. Season one, no.
I need to look at the episode too now.
I enjoyed the Princess Leia episode.
I knew you would.
I really enjoyed that. The Shroud of Darkness, season 2, episode of 18, when Kanan, Ezra, and Ahsoka go to the Jedi Temple to get answers.
Yes.
And Kanan basically gets knighted. I really enjoyed that episode. I thought that was a huge moment for his character.
You know, season one, Rise of the Masters, where Ezra and Kanan go on the rescue mission to rescue Master Depa Balaba.
Yes.
And it turns out that, like, Depa Balaba is dead, and the Empire is, like, using her body to lure Jedi.
Yeah.
That was some dark shit.
That was some dark shit. That was a good episode as well.
And I'm pretty sure... Was that their... I think that was their first encounter with the Grand Inquisitor. Who was played...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. The Grand Inquisitor was played brilliantly by Jason Isaacs. And if you don't... That's Lucius Malfoy, if you don't know who that is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I like when it's revealed in the Shroud of Darkness episode that he was a Jedi Temple Guard.
Yeah.
I liked that reveal. I think you had already told me that beforehand because I asked about it. But it was actually cool to see it, to like play out on TV.
I also liked the two-part episode in season two where the clones come back.
Yeah, that was a good episode. I wouldn't say it was one of my favorites, but I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the episode where Sabine goes undercover to extract what ends up being Wedge Antilles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Liked that episode a lot.
What did you think? I know you have opinions on Bendu.
Oh, yeah. He was wild. Absolutely wild. And then Kanan went and pissed him off.
Yeah.
That was a bad move. But at the same time, I like how, you know, Bendu stayed true to his ward. He said, do not bring the war to my planet. And what did they do? Brought the war to his planet. Like the one thing he told you not to do. After he helped you find your balance again and, you know, become one with the Force. You go and screw over Bendu like that. I don't know what else you expected. But him turning into that giant storm was awesome.
Yeah. And then him disappearing after death.
Yes, that too.
Which there was something, so in the, we didn't get to talk about this, but in the World Between Worlds episode, there is a conversation between Ahsoka and Ezra, where Ezra is talking to Ahsoka about the Loth Wolf and how it's pretty much it's Kanan or it's doing mm-hmm. Kanan. And like, so like we know from like the Clone Wars arc where Yoda learns how to become one with the Force that like the Jedi don't know about retaining your consciousness after death. They don't know about, you know, becoming one with the cosmic force and influencing life after that. So, like, the fact that Ahsoka knows about that and explains it to Ezra tells me that, like, she's been down that same path that, like, we saw Yoda went down. And, like, she's, whenever she dies, she's going to become one with the Force.
I think Ezra is a much more, you know, powerful, like, I think that was a given, that she's really, really, really powerful on the Force. But I think she understands it on a much deeper level, you know, than most people or would give her credit for, and more than most Jedi do. Like, I think she looks at it and has a understanding of a way very similar to Yoda. But at the same time, that's not surprising, considering we saw Yoda heavily involved with, like, her training and stuff like that.
I think if you consider all of, like, the Jedi in the Clone Wars era, like, Ahsoka, even though she left the Order, Ahsoka is the Jedi who did not lose her way.
Yes. I would even hesitate to say, like, she is probably more in tune to what, you know, Rey's Jedi generation is going to be like.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be the stereotypical. I think it'll be more similar to, you know, the mindset and the way, like, the way of the Force, like, understanding it the same way and, you know, thinking about it in the way that Ahsoka did, where it's kind of like, you know, you can't ignore your feelings, like you have, I don't know how to explain it, but I think,
like, in my vision of Rey's Jedi Order, like, attachment is not forbidden.
Yes. I was so happy. I think I was counting down the episodes until Ahsoka came in.
She had a really good reveal too.
She did have a really good reveal.
I know there was the one episode where you see Hera talking to Fulcrum, but, like, you don't see her face. Like, did you realize it was Ahsoka then? Like,
did no.
You, okay. Neither did I.
No. Yeah. I honestly, and, like, I've gone back and looked, and I still can't tell. So I know I'm really blind. So maybe that's why, but yeah, I honestly can't tell in the shot where we see her, like, as the hologram talking to her.
Right. But yeah, her reveal, like, when she comes down the ladder and it's adult Ahsoka, like, I love that so much. Oh, wait, we need to talk about my Father's Day gift.
Yes, that's incredible.
Okay, so my daughter got me I don't know how tall it is. It's taller than me. But she got me a cardboard cutout of Ahsoka. And it's Ahsoka with the Siege of Mandalore arc look. And I think it's from her, like, the scene where, like, she's talking to, like, Obi-Wan and Anakin, like, through, like, the hologram thing. Like, I think, like, she's standing there like that with her arms crossed. So, like, it's so awesome. It's next to my TV.
Yeah. No, when you sent me that picture, I was like, my jaw dropped. That was awesome.
I didn't even know something like that existed.
Yeah, that's wild. I didn't either. It's very cool.
Yeah.
So now, while on the topic of Ahsoka, then we have to talk about her final reveal in Rebels as basically Gandalf the White. Badass as shit.
We've heard those rumors of, like, a rebel. Now my speech impediment is coming up. A Rebels sequel series, and, like, I really hope it's about Ahsoka and Sabine, just kind of, like, teaming up and trying to find Ezra.
Yes, like. And I know I've seen, I think I might have mentioned it to you, like, once or twice, that I had seen that be rumored to be what it's going to be as well.
She just looks peaceful. She looks like a Jedi right there.
I'm just intrigued by the staff.
It had a very, like, Elder Wand feel to it. Because, like, yeah. It has those, like, little, like, bulges, like, going up it, like the Elder Wand does. Yeah, I just...
I like that she's leaned hardcore into, like, the all-white. Because it looks dope.
Yeah.
I just need to know what happens with them, her going forward. I would also like to know what she was doing, what she did in the time, you know, after exiting the tomb, and the time we see her reunite again with Sabine. Like, where was she during the fall of the Empire?
That is a very good question. I mean, I can't imagine she went into like a... Maybe she went into exile. Maybe she hid. I don't know. I mean, she's certainly not around during any Star Wars stories that we know of, so...
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'd be curious to know what she went off and did.
And that's the thing about, like, Star Wars and its wonky timeline. Like, they come up with a really cool character in 2008, carry her on into, like, 2017, and it's like, well, fuck, we need her to just go away now because we know she's not there for, like, the story that comes next.
Yeah, so, like, especially because, like, when she tells Ezra to run and she goes back to, like, she's going to go jump back into her portal, he tells her, he's like, find me when you get out. And she's like, I will. And then she goes through and boof, there she's back in the destroyed temple. All of this shit happens. Where is Ahsoka? Casey.
Okay, so, like, he tells Ahsoka, find me when you... What were the words he said? Find me when you get out?
Yeah. Yeah, what did Ezra...
Okay, so he tells Ahsoka, find me when you get out. And he tells Sabine, you know what to do. So, yes. Like, they're doing that at the end of Rebels. He's not, like, he doesn't, it's not, find me immediately when you get out. It's, find me, I'm going to be lost. Team up with Sabine and find me. Oh, man. I love this show so much.
It's such a good show.
I am so incredibly happy that you watched it and you enjoyed it.
Like, honestly, I right now I have, because I kind of put it on hold because I got so into Rebels, I was rewatching Avatar: The Last Airbender. So now that I finished up Rebels, I'm back to watching that.
What season are you on?
Season 2.
Okay. I'm going to actually start that this weekend.
Nice. It's really good.
Okay. I'm excited.
I'm excited to hear your thoughts on it. I feel like you'll really enjoy it, and you can definitely tell that Dave Filoni did it. But when I go to just, like, eat and I want to throw something on quick, that's not an hour long, because I don't want to sit for an hour. Because if it's a good episode, like, I want to keep watching it. I won't turn it off, even though I don't want to just get sucked into watching TV.
Wait, the Avatar Rebels episodes the Avatar episodes are an hour long?
No. They're only, like, 23 minutes.
Okay.
Whatever it is for, like, they were a half hour episodes on Nickelodeon. So, like, whatever that is minus commercials.
Okay.
They're short. And it's only 3 seasons.
Should I watch the movie too?
No.
Okay.
It's so bad.
Is it really?
Next time we hang out, Casey, one of these days we'll watch it together just because it's like after you've watched the show. Because I have a feeling you're going to really love that show and you're going to latch onto the characters.
Okay.
So then once you've watched the show, we're going to watch M. Night Shyamalan's version of it. And you're going to be so mad.
Is this like... So this is a movie that we're going to like Mystery Science Theater our way through it.
What's that mean?
Ah, you're killing me. It means that like we're going to sit there and make fun of it the whole time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry, was that an age thing?
No, it wasn't an age thing. Stop it. Okay, the only thing I know nothing about it. The only thing I know about Avatar is that there's a character, I think his name is Zuko?
Yes.
I know that there's a character named Zuko. And he has a redemption arc.
He has a fucking beautiful redemption arc. It is probably like, if anybody was like, what's a good example of a redemption arc? Boom. Zuko.
That is the only thing I know about the show, so I am going in blind on this one.
Excellent. I'm excited for you.
All right. And I'll be giving you all my thoughts throughout the whole thing.
As I expected and wanted.
All right, do we have anything else for Rebels?
No, I don't think so.
All right. I don't have anything else Star Wars related, so everyone, thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Darth Hockey. You can follow the podcast at Sith's Giggles Pod. Krista, where can people follow you?
I'm also on Twitter at Critter, K-R-I, 3 T's, E, 3 R's.
All right, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spreaker.com. Thank you for listening. Bye.